Ladies and gentlemen, welcome one and all to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. Check out LouisvillePolitics.com for everything and anything you want to know about. We dare go where most people don't. And speaking of going where most people don't, Mr. Dale Gillespie will not be joining us tonight. And I will be covering his show tomorrow night, the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show with Dale. Dale is out of town visiting family for the holidays. And, hey, that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's what the holidays are for, especially the Christmas season. You got to go home, man. Visit the folks, take care of the kids, the nieces, the nephews. So I hope he's having fun. He deserves it. Dale works pretty hard year-round, so I hope him and his lovely family are getting along great. In the meantime, it is the day after Christmas. You can call us at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. If you want to talk, let's just open the lines up. I'm going to get into quite a few things, like this whole gun control debate, the fiscal cliff. I love what's going on in New York right now with the media, the Gannett idiots out there posting the names and addresses of all concealed carry permit owners in New York. And quite honestly, I like the response. I like the fact that the internet has taken over. There are posts everywhere of these idiot editors, columnists, writers, journalists, whatever you want to call them, in New York and these other places. They're posting this stuff. There are addresses, their phone numbers, pictures of their homes. They're all over the internet now. Let's out these fools. Let's out these clowns. I've got no problem with that. I love that. I think we should out the name and address and phone number of every media person in the entire United States, especially if they're on the liberal left and they work for Gannett. I love that idea. Let's out these clowns. Let's hold them accountable to the same standard that they hold the general public. It's just like NBC News had a reporter that was, kidnapped and held hostage in Syria there for a couple of months. Just got released. Nobody knew about it because they covered it up. They said we didn't want to put their names out there and the fact that they were being held hostage because we didn't want them put in harm's way. Really? I can think of about 10 people right now that the media outed publicly on TV that were journalists for CNN or other organizations that were outed. I can think of a couple that were beheaded by Islamic extremists. What kind of harm's way did the media put them in? But because it's their own, they want to protect them, screw everybody else. I love the hypocrisy of the media right now. I enjoy it. I thrive on it. I thrill on it. I want them held accountable to a standard. And in other news, you need to go to LouisvillePolitics.com. We've had a breaking story for the last 3 days. Santa was involved in a drug bust. His brother ended up taking care of Christmas. You can follow all the talk on that. It's a little story we put out every year. Actually, it's kind of a joke. It's a lot of fun. I'm a twisted guy. I think everybody should be held accountable. So Santa's been held accountable. Big deal. Big deal. In the meantime, let's get right to this, because I tell you what, there is something driving me completely nuts in gun control once again. We're going to get into this story. Firefighters, yes, first responders in upstate New York. Two were wounded by a gunman who decided that he wanted to open fire on firefighters. Now, the big story right out of the gate, when this story first started, this gunman used a .223 Bushmaster assault rifle, just like they used in Newton, Connecticut, the same type gun that was used to kill 20 children. We need gun control. Come on, people. Are we that gullible? Are we that gullible? These firemen were responding to a fire that was set up by William Spengler Jr. William Spengler Jr. was a convicted felon who was barred from having handguns. He decided that he wanted to torch his whole neighborhood. Apparently, he killed his sister, who he lived with. All right. Set the house on fire. He wanted to burn everything up, according to his own statements. Okay. Then he took a .223, and a couple of handguns, went across the street, waited for firefighters to arrive, and started shooting. Now, he put out a 2 or 3 page typed letter that investigators found. And according to the letter that they found and what they have released, is that Spengler intended to destroy his neighborhood and do what he liked doing best, which was killing people. So once again, we've got a guy who's doing illegal things, but it's the gun's fault, right? He's a convicted felon who's not allowed to have guns, but he went and found some anyway and kept them in the house he lived. He's a crazy guy because he wanted to daggone burn down his neighborhood and got off on killing people. The gun would have stopped that, right? The gun wasn't going to, you know, taking away the gun wasn't going to stop him from burning up the house or burning up the neighborhood. People are inside sleeping. He just went after them and tried to kill them. But it's the gun's fault, right? Right? You guys really need to understand how this game works. And it drives me nuts that most of you don't. Well, let me rephrase that. Most of you on this show know what we talk about when we talk about liberty, we talk about freedom, and we talk about accountability. But it's the asinine individuals on the liberal left who just don't seem to get it. They just don't seem to get the fact that a gun is an inanimate object. I don't care if you have a clip that holds 50 bullets. I don't care if you have a clip that holds 5. I don't care if you've got to cock the hammer to pull the trigger. I don't care if it's a semi-automatic 9mm Smith & Wesson like I carry. I don't care what it is. That gun is an inanimate object. I don't care what it was built for. There has to be a will and an intent to use it. If a gun was built to kill, I'm not arguing that. You know, people like to use guns to hunt. I personally use guns to target shoot. I've told people many, many times, I love to shoot. When I was in the military, I would have killed if that's what I was ordered to do. And I love to shoot. But I don't like to kill. My brother-in-law is a fantastic example of that. I've mentioned it here before. He likes to go hunting every year, gets him a couple of deer. Makes some of the best deer jerky and cooks up some of the best deer meat I've ever eaten. I love deer meat. But if you think I'm going to go out in the woods, sit in a tree perch, and shoot Bambi between the eyes just so I can kill him for the meat, you're wrong. I couldn't eat it. I would feel bad about killing it. I can't kill Bambi. I can't slaughter a cow for the meat, but I can go to a slaughterhouse and order the steak. Yeah, I know. It's weird, right? But there's a lot of us out there like that. Somebody comes barreling through my door, you can bet I'm going to shoot if they're there for the wrong intent. Got no problem with that. They made that choice. And for me, that's the difference. For me, that's the difference. Bambi didn't choose for me to shoot him. A cow didn't look me in the eye and challenge me to make me shoot him. But a human being is responsible for their actions. And you have intent. And that's the whole problem with this whole gun control garbage. We want to eliminate guns. But as we have found out in a Newton, Connecticut shooting, as we found out in this shooting in New York with the firefighter, as we find out in most cases of these mass shootings, two things are clearly prevalent. Before these people shoot, they commit an illegal criminal act. Period. This convicted felon got guns illegally. Adam Lanza, who shot the 20 kids in Connecticut, got guns illegally. He stole them. I don't care if they were from his mom. I don't care if he stole them from his next-door neighbor or if he stole them from a guy around the corner down the block. He still stole those weapons. He had the intent to kill. Both of these guys did. And it didn't matter if they used a gun or if they used arson like Spengler did in New York. None of that matters. They had the intent to kill. They were going to kill. So it's not the gun. It's not the 50-round clip. It's not all this garbage that these ultra-left liberal nutjobs want to keep convincing you of. It's not the stupidity of CNN's analysts, and I pray to God they deport this guy or he disappears off the face of the earth somewhere, Piers Morgan. What a waste of a human being. Go back to the UK and preach your ultra-liberalism over there. We don't need it here in the U.S. I don't want it here in the U.S. Get rid of this guy. But it's not them. And now we've got some of these conservatives out there who are trying to jump on the bandwagon and go against some of their tenet beliefs when it comes to gun control because they're too scared to hold their ground because there might be political backlash because these nut jobs, the ultra-liberal left, want to sit out there and take their guns. So they're scared they'll lose their power if they don't. Let's go to the phones. Andy, my good friend, how are you?
I'm good, man. Did you have a good holiday?
Man, I always have. You know what? I'm built like Santa Claus, so Christmas is a dream for me. I have a great Christmas. You know, you've seen me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm not a big Christmas guy. Man, I'm kind of, I don't know, man. I haven't been feeling it for 2 weeks. But you know what? We talked about this, not on Meshon's show, but this other show I do. And you know, let's look at it from this perspective, okay? And I had a woman call in, and she's talking about if it wouldn't have been for guns, you wouldn't have had this level of slaughter. Right now, what I do for a living, all I would have to do is go rent a piece of heavy equipment, mm-hmm. have it dropped off, mm-hmm. and anyone, especially a daycare that's not even fortified, mm-hmm. much less a regular school, just have the equipment dropped off, and especially a large track hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's quicker than a dozer, but I can literally start pushing down the door and just roll that piece of equipment in there and start running over people, killing people. Now, if somebody was to do that,
mm-hmm.
would you now, before you rent a piece of heavy equipment to somebody, would you make them take, would you check to see if they had any mental health issues? See, the problem here is, you know, that I had to explain this to the caller that I was dealing with. These laws are all reactionary issues. And you can't
exactly.
And we, especially those who, whether you are a Christian or whatever you believe in, even if you're a secular person, what mm-hmm. we're really talking about here is the darkness in human souls. You mm-hmm. cannot anticipate the darkness in a human soul. I mean, we know it's there. You just don't know how it's going to manifest itself. Now, you know, I'm surprised we haven't heard more about people who decided the Mayans were right, more to help them out. I mean, my whole argument with the Mayan prophecy was if they could see into the future, why couldn't they avoid the Spanish?
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
It's not to be glib. It's just the fact that we don't want to we done got to a point in America where, to me, three things have happened. One, the police have given you this siren song. We got mm-hmm. your back. Got your protection. I've seen for the last week and a half all these gun give-ins and buybacks and all this. Okay. Now, if this was in nature, this would be like the sheep turning into sheepdog and turning into shepherd. All the wolves got to do is just be patient.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the police, Andy. I want to interrupt you for a second because here's the thing. You know, I'm glad you brought up the police aspect because, you know, I've always stood up for the police, and I've got to be honest with you. Today, I am more distrustful of the police than I am any citizen in the world today. I am more scared of the police, even right here in the USA. And I'll tell you why. I mean, I'm in the middle of a nightmare right now because of a false arrest these morons pulled on me. But, you know,
right.
I read stories every day about these shootings, and we had a great story that Dale Gillespie talked about last Thursday night on the TNT show, you know, where we had cops unloaded 137 bullets somewhere in that area on two people. They hit these people like five times. So they're opening fire with their weapons, 137 bullets they shot against two people that they hit five times. I want to know where the other 130 bullets ended up. How much collateral damage is there if they did that in the middle of an elementary school parking lot?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's that. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because that's part of the problem for me. Is we're going to sit here and tell us that we can't defend ourselves, and the police are always there 10 minutes late, or they're the ones who instigate the situation and escalate it like these two clowns did that unloaded their weapons. But, you know, that's the from what I'm getting, you're talking about this crybaby mentality and nobody wants to take personal responsibility. But I think we're headed to that police state, and that's the real end game. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to point that out, man.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is the police have been working this drumbeat since the 80s, especially in the major urban areas. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That guns are the problem. Well, no, really what it is, you didn't want to walk into a situation where you may have to all of a sudden you've been an ass to these people, and now these kids have armed themselves, and they don't like you. So
yeah.
you don't want to walk into that hotbed that you helped create. Now, all these guns that we saw turn in, especially in California.
Oh, Lord.
New Jersey and all these different places, you know, they're showing. Okay. Most of those guns I saw were long arms, rifles, shotguns,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. Okay, you know, like I said, you know, New Jersey, you know, once you get away from a certain area, New Jersey's pretty wooded. Those people were hunters. But the
mm-hmm.
thing is, right now, why would you want to disarm an area where you know it's been devastated by storms and you got people that are, if not, you know, coming in those areas and looking to scavenge and steal what they can that don't live there.
Oh, I'm in agreement with that.
I mean, so what you've done is, I mean, like I said, it would be like in nature, it would be like the sheep saying, well, all the male sheep, you cut your horns off, and then we're
mm-hmm.
going to get rid of the sheep dogs, and the shepherds are no longer needed. The wolves are going to go, excellent.
Well, they really are. They really are. And I tell you, you know, it's fascinating to me, too, because when you talk about these gun buyback programs, those are probably one of the biggest jokes of anything I've ever heard in my life across this country, and I tell you why. Here in Louisville, if you recall, we've tried at least two gun buyback programs right here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I know guys who took guns down there and turned them in and got paid. But what was so hilarious about it was these were guns that weren't working or operational anyway. These were guns that had missing parts, firing pins were bad, old guns, they couldn't find replacement parts or they would have fixed them. So they're just taking up space. They can't be used for anything other than smashing somebody in the head, and you can use a hammer for that. You know, so they took them down and said, what the hell is free money? So they didn't take any guns off the street. They just paid people for their trash.
Well, in California, supposedly the guns had to be in working order.
Supposedly, but they're not going to have you come up with a gun that's missing a firing pin and turn you away in front of people. I'll tell you that right now. That defies logic. They're full of crap.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, like I said, I wouldn't ever. This is the thing that I'm concerned about is, A, I'm going to tell you who you don't see participating in that stuff. You don't even see them. Now, right now, could you imagine people that live in the border states of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, giving away their guns, knowing that you got these Mexican gangs.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point there too, Andy. Because I'm glad you brought up Arizona and all this stuff and the Mexican gangs. Because here's how much we really worry about gun control here in America. Or we really worry about anything meaningful. We could talk about Fast and Furious and the thousands of guns that our own government put out there to let the Mexican drug cartel run with without tracking them or holding anybody accountable to them. We could talk about that all day long and the number of innocent lives that have been lost due to that. But we can also talk about Arizona. We've got our troops spread out all over the world. We're in Afghanistan to protect cocaine. That's what we're there for, folks. That's all they grow. It's cocaine. That's Afghanistan. We went into Iraq over oil. Nobody can defy that logic anymore. It's the truth. So when we go in and we're doing this stuff, we're spreading our troops all over the world. The real problems with terrorism right here in this country start with places like Arizona. We've got Mexican drug cartels that literally own the mountains in Arizona, and we refuse to send our troops in there and take our sovereign land back. Instead, we opt to spend thousands of dollars putting road signs on the highway telling people it's not safe to travel down that highway because the Mexican drug cartels own the mountains. I mean, come on. How ridiculous is that?
There you go. but this is the thing. And see, then, you know, we have an administration that, you know, they just, none of this stuff is of any real importance because it has no political oomph to it for them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, like I said, man, I've been mildly depressed because the problem with the truth is that when you see a thing and you realize what you're dealing with, what in the hell? I like I said, you know, they talking about the physical cliff, this and the and the that and the other thing. What difference does it make? The barbarians aren't at the gate. They don't even want the damn place. They're just waiting on a fire sale. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. Do you know what would happen if you picked up these guns today? Right now, the Tricons, because they own the Panama Canal, it ain't no telling how many AK-47s are sitting there right now in the Panama Canal Zone, ready to be uploaded to flood this country. Okay? I mean,
well,
hell, I only know that one gun company in South America, but I'm quite sure you got plenty of a tourist. They sell a relatively cheap firearm that least the average one of them, you know, is good for at least 500 rounds
right
before you have anything to it. I mean, you don't think these people are going to sit here and go, we're going to make money.
Well, it's interesting to me because I tell you, you know, I love the arguments today, you know, that we're going to get these clips. Now we want to go after the clips. You know, when you talk about money, for one thing, you're going to make the gun lobby more money because if you limit everybody to 10 bullet clips, instead of buying 150 clip, they're going to buy 5 10s. So you're going to make more money for the gun lobbies. That's not going to fix anything. You're not going to stop the shootings. That's not going to fix anything. Because anybody that's worth their salt, I mean, I can go in there, pull my 9mm out. It's, you know, it's a 9mm Smith & Wesson semi-auto. With a flick of a wrist, I've got a clip out and another one loaded right there in less than a second. 10 rounds isn't going to stop me. If my intent was to go out and kill, 10 rounds would not stop me. There's nothing that's going to stop that intent.
Get extra clips.
Exactly. It's not going to take you anything. When you go on a shooting rampage like an Adam Lanza or a William Spengler who attacked the first responders, when your intent is there, there's nothing going to stop you. It's going to take me 4 seconds to load up 4 different clips. Big deal.
I got a question.
That's not going to hurt anything. Yeah.
Remember what was it about 5-6 years ago? When they had that wave that we had that other crazy summer, and the some of the EMTs were buying their own body armor, and remember a couple didn't some of them get fired because the guy that was over the EMTs, the firefighter says, we're not going to wear that. That says that we're, you know, it says that we don't trust the people we're serving. Excuse me, I'm going in here to deal with a gunshot victim that. In an area that you haven't secured, excuse me.
Oh, I know. It's atrocious.
So now I'm gonna wonder now if they're gonna change that policy, and if so, will you have to hire those people back, or will we have to pay them? You know, Joe and Josephine Sucker, taxpayer.
Sure.
Because they had the courage to say, this is dangerous out here.
It gets interesting, Andy, because, you know, the people who have the courage to say anything, people like me and a few others that I know, you know, we're chastised for standing up for what's right or wrong. But the ultra-liberal left and the hypocrisy of that left is what really drives me completely bonkers. Because, as I pointed out a minute ago, we've got the Arizona mountains. We talk about gun control. We talk about all these other things, you know, but I see the President of the United States surrounded with Secret Service that are fully armed with automatic weapons. And by the way, folks, you know, I heard Bloomberg talk about we need to ban automatic weapons. And we're hearing all these political leaders talk about banning automatic weapons. For the record, if you hear anybody that's a so-called leader tell you that we need to ban automatic weapons as part of gun control, smack them upside the head and tell them they're stupid. Automatic weapons have been illegal in this country for over 50 years. Automatic weapons have been illegal in this country for over 50 years. I needed to repeat that. And I needed to repeat it because these idiots, and people get mad when I use terminology like that, but these idiots in Congress and these idiots that are supposedly, you know, in these power positions like Bloomberg and these other dumbasses are sitting out there trying to sell a line to the American people that we've got all of these problems when these problems have already been existed. John Yarmuth, our congressman, 3rd District, right here in Kentucky, sat there and screamed and hollered he's going to jump on board with Nancy Pelosi, that we're going after stricter gun control laws to get this under control. Yet when questioned, John Yarmuth said himself, there is no gun law that would have stopped the tragedy of Connecticut.
I got a question for you. What are the people who protect them, the Secret Service and all that, don't they normally carry MP5s and these new M4s?
Yes, they carry everything, dude. They carry fully automatic weapons.
So wait, though. Hold on. Now, Yarmuth can honestly say he don't have, hell, you don't have to carry that when you got damn a samurai who's willing to shed blood for you.
Mm-hmm.
So are you willing to give up your layer of protection and operate under the premise like, you know, like I say, Joe and Josephine citizen?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, I mean, my thing is, because once again, you want, you see, the conversation sounds good, but what you're really saying is, you want to have the advantage in every environment that you go into. And see, that's the thing right now. Because we were talking about this Friday, you know, like I said, at AM station I do. And, mm-hmm. And I told myself, if you take away the guns out the West End, just say you took every gun away, I said within 3 to 5 days, every senior citizen down here will be in fear of their life.
Sure.
I said, because you are. All of a sudden, people who weren't burglars are going to become burglars. What you're going to do is take these people with these $100 a day, $200 a day heroin habits. They're going to, you just gave them new hunting ground.
Mm-hmm.
What you did, they ain't there to kill people. They're going to push in on them, take what they can take, and it's going to be X amount of those people die.
You know what? Arm the private citizens who run the block watches, man. Arm the private citizens who are supposedly part of these block watch programs. Arm them. Let them actually do a real block watch. Let the neighborhood citizens, you live in a neighborhood, take 3 or 4 of your buddies, and you open carry through that neighborhood. You open carry through that neighborhood every day or every night on patrol. Mix it up. One day you're there from 6 to midnight, the next you're there from 10 at night to 6 in the morning, whatever. Mix it up.
Yeah.
But you have 3 or 4 or 5 people walk through there open carry with their weapons on their side, watching the neighborhood. And I tell you what, see if your crime doesn't go down in your neighborhoods. See if it doesn't go down in your neighborhoods.
Well, you know what's done happen, and this this used to be where you had, you see it on TV, but you used to have inner neighborhood discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you got to the point in the neighborhood where you were a thief, if your kid was identified as a thief at 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Those alpha males and alpha, they watched you everywhere. You weren't welcome at people's homes. You were basically ostracized. We've taken all the controlling measures out of the communities. Okay.
Well, we've taken them out for what reason, though, Andy? That's the question. What reason did we take all this out?
Well, okay. You got 5 or 6 elements. Part of the elements is. Segregation, integration kind of brought about that account because, it's just like when in the schools, a lot of white people wasn't going to have black people, if there's no authority putting their hands on their kids. That's one thing. Same thing with the communities. If you go to places that are predominantly Italian, like these Bosnian Herzegovinians and all that, they still have an old school in a community discipline, okay,
sure.
And as long as they're living among themselves, they will enforce a certain level of right and wrong on their communities.
Well, see, now you're making my argument for me, though.
No, I don't have a problem making your argument. I'm just telling you, back when I was a kid, I grew up in a community where. The term snitching was an everyday thing. If them old folks saw us doing something, even if they thought we were doing something, I'm going to tell you what, I got whoopings for just being in an area that was suspect. I that don't mean I was doing anything wrong. I saw your boy.
But see, that was old days because neighbors used to be involved, though, Andy. When I was a kid, It was nothing for me to get in trouble by my neighbor, and that may have included a spanking. And before I could walk down to my house, it might just be next door. My mom or dad had already gotten a call, and I got another spanking just for embarrassing them and having another neighbor have to correct me for something I did.
There you go.
That's exactly it. And then we're looking at this. I mean, what you're describing now is we're not teaching our kids right, and I totally agree with that. For the last week, I have been chastised like nothing you would ever believe. Not that I mind. I expect people to go nuts on me because they don't like the truth. But I've been chastised more than you could possibly imagine over the last week for blaming the shootings in Connecticut on Nancy Lanza, Adam Lanza's mother, who raised him and set him up to do that. Everybody is letting her off of the hook. Nobody wants to talk about the reality. They want to focus on a gun, but they're not focusing on the fact that here's a kid who was mentally disturbed his whole life to the point that his mom couldn't leave him by himself, yet she chose to leave him by herself on multiple occasions to take three-day excursions to New Hampshire. She chose to tell every babysitter when he was a young guy, at least back to the age of 9 years old, she was telling one of his babysitters by the name of Ryan Kraft, who was on record, and saying that she told him he couldn't even go to the bathroom when he was watching Adam because she was scared if he took his eye off of him, he would hurt himself or somebody else, meaning Ryan Kraft. So here's a lady who's worried about this shit and raised this kid in an environment where she was convincing him that the whole world was going to collapse, so she had to surround herself with guns, and she actively taught him how to shoot. She was taking him to gun ranges and teaching him how to shoot when he's mentally unstable. So whose fault are the shootings in Connecticut, really? Are they the mentally disturbed Adam Lanza or his mother who didn't do anything about it?
Well, both of them. But, see, this goes back to the thing, in my mind. Doomsday preppers, by nature, are paranoid.
Sure.
Okay? Okay, so you take someone who's already unstable, mm-hmm. and then you put them, and put them in an environment where everybody, it's almost like when you watch King of the Hill and Dale. Remember every time he
passed,
his name is Rusty Shackelford.
Oh yeah, he's funny.
And I mean, the thing is though, this doomsday prepper stuff is real.
Yep.
And you got people, and you really don't know. I mean, you don't know a benign doomsday prepper from somebody who was a doomsdayer who believed in the race riots are going to spark a thing versus, you know, right now, the collapse of our financial system because ain't nobody got no damn good sense in America now. So, but the whole doomsday prepper, whether you into the zombies or the racism or whatever, or the disbelieving the system's going to collapse, those people are naturally paranoid, just naturally paranoid. And so my whole thing is with the mental health thing, like I said, during Reagan's administration, when he started dismantling that thing, like I said, if you go to some of these cities, 30% of the people who are sitting in a year under lockup, they say sometimes 30 to 40% of those people are suffering from mental illness, you know. So, I mean, how many homeless people are just mentally ill that should be in an institution?
Oh, I agree. And that brings us to some other startling facts, too, because, you know, one of the biggest things that nobody wants to talk about, I mean, the bottom line is simple. If you want to cause harm to someone and your intent is to hurt, maim, or kill, you can do it by a variety of means. It doesn't require a gun. It can require anything. Anything can be used as a weapon. So what we have to do is address the fundamental flaw in what's creating these situations. And here is the fundamental flaw. We have got a situation where mental illness, you know, well, so-called mental illness, I should say, because I tell you, I get sick. Anybody and everybody is now labeled with mental illness, and that just drives me nuts. But, you know, so if you are mentally ill, and we do have mentally ill people out there, no doubt about it, then what do we do about it? Because here's the reality. 77%, think about that number, folks, 77% of people in federal prisons have mental health issues, mental health problems. State prisons with mental problems, 61%. Local jails with mental problems, 44%. The people in jail right now for substance dependence or abuse with mental problems, 74%. If you're in a local jail with mental problems or substance abuse combined, 76%. Now, you think about it. That means our jails are loaded, loaded with people who have mental health problems. If we've got that many people in jail that have mental health problems, think about how many people are out on the street. And who's making money? Oh, I know. It's the private prisons and the government. Yes, yes, they are. It's totally pathetic. According to an NPR report, there are over 350,000 people in America's prisons who have mental illness. According to Judge Steve Leifman, he's a judge, I believe, in Texas. He said what we used to do is they would tell people the definition of insanity is somebody would commit an offense, the police would arrest them, they'd come to court, they'd be acting out, so we judges would order two or three psychological evaluations at great expense to the taxpayer. We would determine they were incompetent to stand trial, and we'd re-release them back to the community, and we held our breath across our fingers and hoped they'd get better and come back so we could try them. Then they'd walk out the door because they were mentally ill. They'd act out right away. And because the jail was next to the courthouse, they get rearrested right away, and they're put in jail. We used to have mental institutions where we could get people help. We don't have that anymore. So now we've made the prison system a mental institution. According to other reports like CBS News, the United States has 5% of the world's population, but we have 25% of the world's prisoners. And as we now know, the majority of those are prisoners because of mental illness or substance abuse. We incarcerate a greater percentage of our population than any country on earth. The price of it, what does it cost us? Go ahead, Andy.
Well, what I was going to think, you know what this sounds like to me, and once again, Dale is wearing off on me.
I won't tell him you said that, but I can't guarantee you won't listen to the replay.
But I'm saying that what has happened, and I guess during the whole Star Wars issue, they had to get money from somewhere. And what better way? Who you had a constituent that, see, they wasn't going to complain, which is the mental health people. Now the service providers pitched a bitch, but, you know, who was listening to them? You know, and I mean, I don't know if Reagan ever meant to reinstate the process, but the truth of the matter is they literally wiped it out. We wiped out the mental health industry in this country. And then what we got into was this beta testing with people, you know, and with all these drugs, all this Ritalin crap and this and that and other thing. I mean, it's nuts, man. So,
I don't believe in this Ritalin crap, and I'll tell you why. You know, my son, this is a personal story, and think of me any way you want to. I don't really care. But my son was diagnosed as having attention deficit disorder. And in my son's particular case, I love him dearly. He's turned out to be a great man. I'm so proud of him. It's unreal. But when he was a little bitty guy, he had some health issues. One of them was a near-death experience, and he had some other health issues after that. I'm not going into detail on all of that, but the reality is, that he was literally pampered for the first 6 or 7 years. We were scared to let him go run because something might happen. We were scared to let him do different things because something might happen. And as a little bitty guy, he had some problems. Now, thank God, he outgrew them. Things got better. Medical did his job. But, so for his first 6 or 7 years of existence, he practically did anything he wanted to do. You talk about the definition of a spoiled brat. And I admit that freely. You know, my wife and her mom, God love them, spoiled this kid rotten. If he started to get out of hand, you know, I was reminded, you don't want to do that. You know, he has health problems, and they try to make excuses, and I got tired of fighting, so I let him do it. By the time he turned 8 years old, I decided enough was enough. Now, they had put him on Ritalin for having ADD because he would act out, and, you know, I tried to explain to the doctors he was acting out because he was spoiled. Doctors didn't want to listen to it. It's ADD. It's a mental thing, blah, blah, blah. At 8 years old, I decided he was going to get a spanking. First one he'd ever had. And you know what? It was the last one he ever had. From that day forward, my son wasn't on Ritalin, and my son reacted the way he was supposed to react because he learned discipline. And, folks, that to me is the reality of all these kids we keep talking about ADD. when they live in an unstable household, and there's no doubt in his particular case, and I take full responsibility, the first 6 or 7 years of his life, he was an unstable household. He could do what he wanted to do because everybody was scared of the alternative. And he wasn't held accountable. But when he was held accountable, man, there was no need for drugs. And most of the kids that I see today that are getting diagnosed with ADD, when I look at their home structure, when I look at their family, they're coming from broken homes. Thank God we didn't have a broken home. We just had a broken mindset, and that was easy to resolve. But, you know, these kids are coming from broken homes. There's no consistency in their life. There's no discipline in their life. Of course they're going to act out. But a drug is nothing more. This is the whole thing, because the drugs in this country, the pharmaceutical industry, with the full cooperation of the U.S. government, to me, is the big problem. When our prisons are bursting apart at the seam because of these so-called drug issues, I mean, let's look at the reality here. We announced a drug war in 1971. There were fewer than 40,000 people at that point that were incarcerated for drug offenses, total. Now it's more than 500,000 for drug offenses. Most of those are idiotic personal use charges. So let's decriminalize the drugs. We'll take half the prison population out. Let's take the money we save on that. It's already being spent, folks. I'm not asking for new taxes. I'm asking for redirected spending. But let's take the money we're spending incarcerating these guys, which is costing us anywhere between $31,000 a year and $60,000 a year per inmate, depending on where you live. And let's take that money and put it into mental health facilities. Think we fixed the problem, Andy?
Well, it'd make a good dent. But, you know, this is the thing. Once again, we got to ask ourselves something. We know that our government does not always have our best interests at heart. We know about the Tuskegee experiment. We also know about in the 40s when the Department of Energy put all that radiated milk into people's, these mentally challenged people's drinks. See how their body could react to radiation poisoning. So the question is, who can we really trust with this situation? You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And I mean, let's just be honest here. This is the problem. I mean, we're dealing with people who their intent is evil. I mean, it's just
sure.
It is what it is. I mean, when you're dealing with I'm sitting here now looking at this guy. They want to put John Kerry up now for Secretary of State.
Oh, good Lord, yeah, I know.
I'm like, excuse me, wasn't this guy, didn't this guy get caught with some lying about some stuff that he didn't? I mean, the whole Swift boat thing. And don't get me wrong, I guess nobody's perfect, but let's get real here. I mean, it's just like when they talk about football coaches. I mean, all we do is retread these guys. Once you get into the system, you know, I mean, Norm Turner's a prime example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He seems to be a nice guy, but he can't beat a good high school team.
Mm-hmm.
But he may be off work for 3 months, but and next thing you know, he'll be defensive coordinator for somebody, and, you know, he'll get paid. So. I mean,
well, there's never any accountability for those at the top, and that is the major crux of the problem, because those at the top, you know, they get away with whatever they want to. We now have a journalist who was told by the media in New York that he could not show a 50-clip or a 50-bullet clip on air as part of his story by law enforcement. He actually went to law enforcement, asked them if it was against the law for him to show this particular 50-round clip as part of his news story to talk about, you know, that, you know, gun control on Eclipse. They told him it was definitely illegal not to do it. He did it anyway. Now the police are investigating this, right? Does anybody really think that this guy is going to be held to any charges on this? The worst that's going to happen is he'll be suspended from the air because the media, you know, his news media outlet has been embarrassed. But he's not going to be held accountable for an illegal act because he's at the top. He's at the top and he's on air.
Did you guys talk about that RG3 statement that the guy from ESPN made?
Huh?
Did you hear about that? I mean, I know we've been dealing with more important stuff, but Robert Griffin III was.
Oh yeah, he was chastised. Yeah.
Yeah, he was told that this guy was saying that he's not he's not black enough. And I'm like,
right.
Okay.
Well, he was suspended for 30 days for being on the air, but they didn't say he's not going to lose his paycheck over it. And he should, because he proved himself to be racist. Real quick, folks, you're going to get one more shot at this. If you want to call in, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. Our good friend Paul Holliger keeps putting a link in the chat room over at Stop It, which stands for Stop Invisible Taxes, trying to compare, you know, firearms deaths and everything else to automobile deaths. And click on the link, folks. You've got some great comparisons there, because there are more people killed with automobile deaths than there are guns every year. So why are we not, this is what I want to know, why are we not going after the cars? Let's get rid of the cars. We don't need cars, folks. We need to go back to horses.
They went after SUVs for a while.
Well, it's called rollovers and stuff,
About 5 or 6 years ago, remember when that lady, she was estranged from her husband, she ran she ran over him with their daughter in the car. So based on the logic of the left, the moment you go through a divorce, we should take away your vehicle and not allow you to be around your children until that divorce is settled. Because and this was a woman doing this. So now, what was that postpartum depression? Was it PMS? What was it? Just was she allergic? Did she have a severe allergic reaction to penis? I mean, what was it? Did throw her over there?
Now you're describing my wife. Please don't go there. You're right. I mean, seriously, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the whole thing about the weapon. And I continue talking about the hypocrisy on the liberal left, and it drives me nuts. But as I mentioned earlier about John Yarmuth, for example, you know, John Yarmuth, Congressman John Yarmuth, says clearly that there was no specific gun law that could have prevented the Connecticut massacre, just as there's no specific gun law that could have prevented, you know, this idiot shooting these daggone firefighters in New York. There was nothing that's going to do that. There's nothing that's going to stop that.
No.
You know, if they want to expand, and this is one thing I'll actually give these guys, because I'm an equal opportunity hater, but I'm also very consistent. I'll actually give these guys. But the Connecticut gun laws worked. There was a 14-day waiting period to buy a gun in Connecticut. And Adam Lanza actually tried to buy his own gun before he stole his mother's guns, but he didn't want to wait 14 days. So he stormed out, stole his mom's guns, the rest is history. You know, so the gun laws actually worked. The waiting period worked. It prevented him from buying a gun immediately and acting on it, although he chose to do an illegal act and go somewhere else. John Yarmuth is absolutely right. There was nothing that was going to prevent this tragedy. But one thing that I can't agree on, and for you liberty-minded folks, I know you're going to hate me for this, and that's okay. But the one thing I can agree on is this. If we're going to have background checks and we're going to have waiting periods and everything else, for me to walk to a gun shop and buy a gun right here in good old Louisville, Kentucky, where I live, then that should apply equally across the board. I've got no problem with doing background checks at gun shows. People want to use the gun shows as an example. Well, you can buy a gun at a gun show, and you're not required to do a background check, and that ain't fair. Well, okay. So let's make it consistent across the board. If I'm going to have a state law that says I have to go through a waiting period to buy a gun, then that law should exist across the board for everybody that's selling guns. That would include your gun shows. See, I've got no problem with that. I think that's fair. I really do. But the hypocrites on the liberal left really disturb me, and I'll tell you why. John Covarrubias, he's a Democratic Party official in Texas, one of the big Democratic Party officials in Texas. You know, he had tweeted when this first came out, he was calling for all NRA members to be shot. I'm an NRA member.
Yeah.
I'm not shooting anybody. I have no desire to shoot anybody. I've explained that earlier. I'm an NRA member, but because I'm a member of an NRA, I'm supposed to get shot at random. And you wonder why I pack, Mr. Covarrubias. You're the first person I'm going to aim at if I hear a crowd yelling somebody's firing, because you're the idiot that caused it. You've got the Hollywood people.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, the NRA, bunch of cowards, though, man.
They are.
They allow. Now they're going to throw video games under the bus. You know, instead of just saying, I mean, it's a simple concept.
You know what makes it hypocritical for the NRA to throw video games under the bus? Because they actually have NRA video games that they have put out that they sell through the NRA that deal with shootings. So we're going to blame the video games for shooting people. But, you know, just turn your head, folks. Don't pay attention to the fact that we, the NRA, sell those same video games for us, too. We actually develop and design them. That's the NRA.
Yeah.
They're hypocrites, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what they was thinking about. Like I said, I'm sitting here right now with they sent me a membership. It's the first time I've got one in the mail. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about it. I mean, I'm not, you know, I understand the difference between an organization who is pro-gun versus them being the spawn of Satan. There's two different things here at work.
Well, I'll tell you honestly, from my perspective, I've been an NRA member for years. And at this point, I'm close to giving up my membership and joining the Gun Owners of America. Because I just don't see where the NRA gets it. Go ahead.
Well, we need somebody to get it, man, because I'm going to just be real with you. We are dealing with some world-class idiots here, dude. And we just, nobody wants to take the courage and say, how do you, if you could read minds, then this wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This
yep.
wouldn't be a problem. We can't read minds. And, but this woman was allowed to, you know, they were left to their own design. Mm-hmm. That's no different than, what's that lady? That woman here that was going to U of L that killed her children.
Right.
And was going to class. Who knew this?
Well, and that's the whole thing. You cannot tell definitively what someone is. We never know from day to day. We never
right.
know from day to day what anybody no. is going to do. We don't know what's going to make people snap. So do I want to be in the middle of a crowded theater like they were in Aurora, Colorado, with some nut job like James Holmes walks in and starts shooting and be defenseless? No, I don't. Do I want
nope.
to sit in a school... Do I want to sit in a school when we've got some nut job who's being trained to be this terrorist? And that's exactly what Adam Lanza was trained to be. And you can blame Nancy Lanza for that. And you can chastise me all you want to for it. I don't really care. But do I want to have my children in a defenseless situation? No. This isn't the first shooting we've had in this country in a school. It's the first time we've had it against six-year-olds. But... You know, it's not the first time we've had that. And yes, in the chat room, I'm being told NRA games do not shoot humans and that I'm wrong. I never said anything about shooting humans. I said they develop video games that use guns. That's the
first
situation.
Person.
So I don't care if it's Call of Duty by a private employer that's using guns and teaching kids to shoot people. I don't care if it's the NRA that's using guns to shoot targets or shoot deer. I don't care. It still involves a gun. For the NRA to say that these games that involve guns are a problem, that's a problem for me, because to me it's somewhat hypocritical, regardless of what you're shooting. I understand in the chat room what you're saying. I'm not arguing with what you're saying, but I actually agree with you. But I'm just talking about from the general public perspective and hypocrisy that it puts out there. That's what I think people see. And speaking of hypocrisy, here you go more on the liberal left. Mark Helgenberger. Now, this is an actress in Hollywood. All right, she was an A actress at one time, she's a B actress most of the time, and she's a nut job every time. But she played roles on CSI. Anybody who's watched CSI, Crime Scene Investigation on TV, you see the violence and you see the murders, you see the blood, your guts, you see all of this stuff. She also played a nurse on China Beach way back in the day with Dana Delaney. Both of these shows have violence, both of these shows involve guns, both of these shows involve everything you can imagine. Okay, so she's made her living portraying these daggone things that include violence, guns, and everything else. And the first thing she tweets as soon as Connecticut happens is, one can only hope an NRA member gets shot. One can only hope an NRA member gets shot. So here we have prominent Democrats in Hollywood and in the party telling people to shoot NRA members. Now,
well,
that's
what,
not hypocrisy.
Now,
what is?
Well, that's hypocrisy, but you... Now, they work at both sides. See, they're consistently stupid. I know you done heard the argument that Spike Lee's done put out about Django Unchained, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's, you know, basically, this has offended my ancestors. I guess he's going to take out a fatwa against Jamie Foxx. You know,
oh, I hear you. Here we go again, get chastised in the chat room. You know, it's fascinating because in the chat room, the NRA advocates responsible behavior of gun usage. You're right, they do. But guess what? So did Nancy Lanza. Nancy Lanza supposedly advocated responsible gun usage to Adam Lanza. But he was a mental nut job, and she knew it his whole life, so she could tell him to be responsible all she wants to. You know, so you can take this any way you want to. Is the NRA 100% consistent with their mission? Well, of course they are. But we're talking about the hypocrisy on the liberal left. We're talking about what people think right now when you're dealing with guns because they are too emotional to look at things from a rational level. That's the reality. The NRA can talk anything they want to, but for the NRA to blame a game that has guns when they make a game that has guns, I don't care what the intent is. I don't care if one intends to shoot people like in Call of Duty or if one intends to try to get a 10 on a gun target like with the NRA. I don't care. The fact is both are portraying guns to be shot at something. And that's the hypocrites on the liberal left. That's what they're going to jump on. And that's what makes the NRA hypocritical. They should have never brought a video game into the mix to make that a point of contention. The NRA did themselves no favor with that. And I'm not going to read anything above. I've already read all I'm going to do. I don't care if they criticize violent games. I appreciate the fact that the NRA criticizes violent games. I'm an NRA member. I have supported the NRA mission, and I still do when they stay on their primary mission focus. But what I don't like is every time they come out and open their mouth, they have to say something that's adding fuel to the hypocritical liberal left. And that's what they've done. That's just my opinion. Andy, it's time to wrap, man. You got anything else you want to add on? Because we are running out of time,
man,
quick.
I'm just hoping, man, that common sense can prevail, man. We right now it's taking a standing eight count, bro.
Well, I tell you, for me personally, I don't think common sense will prevail. I don't think common sense will ever prevail. I think the days of common sense in America are long gone. What I do hope prevails is, however, the liberty and freedom mind of people prevail. I hope that they finally find a way that we can stand together and take back this country. That's it. That's the bottom line. We continue to be divided among stupid stuff that there's no rational argument to be made. I'm not picking on the NRA like I'm being accused of doing. I'm just pointing out what others are saying about the NRA because of it. I'm pointing out the hypocrisy on the liberal left who says we need gun control but shoot an NRA member. How hypocritical is that? That's what I'm talking about, folks. I'm talking about crazy people like Adam Lanza, who goes into a school and shoots 26-year-olds. He was taught to do so by a survivalist nut job named Nancy Lanza, who he called his mom. He was a mentally challenged child. He was a mentally challenged adult, and she still put him in that situation. I'm talking about this guy, William Spengler, who just shot firefighters in New York after setting his own house on fire, walking across the street, hiding behind a tree, waiting for them to show up to open up because, as he said in his own words, he's doing what he does best, which means he likes killing people. This is what I'm talking about. For you liberal left nut jobs who continue on taking away my guns, I've got to tell you, these two examples are exactly the reason I have a gun and I carry a gun and I've got no problem using it if necessary. Do I look forward to it? No. I hope I never have to pull the trigger and kill a human being. But I don't want to pull the trigger and kill a dog, a deer, or a cow either. A gun is there for self-defense. If taught properly how to use a gun, if you respect the weapon the way that you're supposed to do, and yes, even the NRA tells you that, okay? That's fine with me. But you're not going to stop these mentally challenged idiots like Lanza and Spengler. It's done. You're not going to stop James Holmes. In order to stop people with that intent, you've got to have equal force, or at least available equal force. That's the only way you can stop people that are that intent. And that's the problem. Mr. Chatroom, you can accuse me of anything you want to. I'm sorry, but you know that's the way it is. I stand by my statements. I will continue to stand by my statements. God bless America. You're entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to mine. So here we go. That's the deal. You folks make of it what you will. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. Dale the Truth Gillespie will be off this week. If you guys want to call in, just call in tomorrow night. I will be hosting the show for him. And we will get into a little bit more of the liberty and freedom-minded stuff than normal. We'll have some follow-ups on what's really going on with some of these journalists in New York right now, including the nut job who put the 50-round clip on the air against the law and why he's not going to be held accountable, and a whole host of other things. We will see you guys tomorrow night at 7. Have a great night, folks, and thank you so much for listening.
Everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government.
The government.
Oh, the government.